I want to talk to you today about some thoughts I've been having about in pursuit of revival. In pursuit of revival. You know what? We sang the song today, I want more of God. I want more of God, but there's a sense in which I can't get more of God because He didn't give me a part of Himself. You understand? When I met the Lord, I didn't just get a part. Now I got to work like crazy to get the rest of Him. I didn't get a little dab of do you. What I want is to experience more of God. I want more of who He is in me to become a reality in my life. See, I think we think wrong when we think that somehow we are missing something, that we are inadequate, that somehow there's something lacking in us because we're not exactly experiencing all that God is in us, and that somehow we got gypped. Or we missed something, or we were behind the door when that part was being given. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you. You know, it's always good to appeal to the Bible. I think. I know there wasn't an amen in the house. But, you know, I think. Okay? This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. And of His fullness we have all received. Everybody say all received. And of His halfness, quarterness, three-quarterness, of His fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. Friends, you receive God by grace and faith. You don't receive God by sweating it out, grunting it out, sacrificing it out. And all those things are important. Working for God is important. Sacrificing for the kingdom of God is important. All those things have a place in the economy of God. And all those things have a place in the economy of a believer. If you think serving God means you'll never make sacrifices for God, you don't understand the kingdom. If you think that serving God will always be convenient for you, you don't understand the kingdom. But because of those things does not mean we have not received the fullness of God. What we want is to experience the fullness of what God has put within us. But I'm not sure we can get to where we can experience the fullness of what God's put within us until we at least admit that we have Him. Just a thought. So that's my first scripture. Let's try Colossians chapter 2. Of course, that was John writing about Jesus over there in the gospel. So in Colossians chapter 2, we have this scripture, verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are, y'all reading this with me? Is it on the board? And you are, what's that next word? I'm what? I don't feel like it sometimes. Do you always feel complete in God? Well, but let's see. What does the Bible say? And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. So it doesn't matter what the devil's doing, you're still complete in God. Jesus is the head. Are you listening to me? Jesus is the head of all principality and power. And in another place in Ephesians, in every name that is named. Well, why do I not feel complete? Well, it's because you have feelings. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Whoever told you your soul was on your side lied to you. Whoever told you your soul was on God's side lied to you. Worse. Listen to me, church. I got something to say today that's going to help you if you'll listen to me. If you'll listen to me and take it to heart and believe the Word of God, it'll change your life. I only have 15 more minutes to persuade you that the Bible is true and all of your cotton-picking emotions that tell you you don't have all of God, you don't have enough, He's not real in your life, and He's not enough is a lie. See, I think revival is among us. I think if we would just admit it and start acting like it, we'd see evidence of it. But we're waiting for something to hit us from out yonder somewhere. Chris got to sing the right song. Sean's got to sing the right song. Oh, I don't know. Pastor's got to preach the right word. No. Do you understand? I didn't ask Craig to prepare in advance, but I don't know how many people have been saved over the course of March, April, May, skip June, went to youth camp, July, August, and September, and coming up in October. How many people have been saved in these outreaches? Listen, let me tell you what the sign of revival is. The sign of revival is not you feel better. The sign of revival is people getting born again. Jesus didn't say in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 when he left, he didn't say, go into all the world and feel better. And work your fanny off to try to get your emotions under control so you can serve me when you're happy. I didn't read that in my Bible. He said, go into the world and make disciples, which presumes I'm going to be a disciple, and because I can't make anybody that I'm not being. I got some feelings about this stuff today. I don't know if you can tell or not. Let's try Ephesians, see if it gets any better. Ephesians chapter 3. I got 9 points here. Oh, help me, Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 19. Listen to this. Now, this is in a prayer. When you look at a verse in the Bible, make sure you look at the context. This is in a prayer. But let's do 19 first. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this should suggest you're not filled with the fullness of God, but in fact, he's praying that you would know the love of God that demonstrates you are full of the love of God. That you have the fullness of God in you. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You know how you become aware of the fullness of God that you are filled with? Through knowledge. Through revelation. Listen to the way he says it. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's not a matter of data, you guys. It's not a matter of getting the information in your head. The information in your head is important, but it's not simply the information in your head. It's when the information in your head becomes transformed and it's something that's in your heart and it becomes a life-giving force in your life. It becomes illuminated to you. It brings light to you. It brings revelation to you. It changes things on the inside. That's why there's tons and tons of Christians running around who know God, do God talk all kind of God stuff, and they're just a bunch of idiots. They act crazy. They do stupid things in the name of Jesus. They have foolishness in their life. They're immoral. And they do God talk. Because they have knowledge, but they don't have revelation. They've never been illuminated. How many of you know people like that who can talk God talk real good, and the next day you see them, they're talking devil talk real good? By the way, I want to say to you, the word of the Lord to somebody in this room, maybe a few somebodies, is that the Spirit of God is dealing with the spirit of anger. It started during worship this morning. And I'm telling you that an axe is being laid to the root of that anger. That an axe is being laid to the root of that anger. And if you will let God, He's going to cut it off, and all the fruit that's come from that anger tree is going to fall to the ground. The root is being cut. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to be mad before dark. You're probably mad at me already. But I'm telling you, in the spirit realm, the sword of the Lord has been brought. You made a decision to come to church today, and you didn't want to come. It was inconvenient. It was difficult. And the Lord says, because you chose to choose Him, He is giving you a grace gift. He's laying an axe to the root. You can mark this day on your calendar, whoever you are. Things are going to be different. So, y'all want my 6 points here? Yeah, well, might as well give them all to you here. Number one, in pursuit of revival, we must acknowledge Christ is in us. Don't start in a negative state. Oh God, I'm such a worm. Oh God, I don't deserve. Who are you? You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Who died for you? Jesus died for you. Who's making you who you are? You? Your behavior, your conduct, your attitudes? Of course not. It's by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are who we are. Amen, church? I'm in pursuit of revival. I want to see an outpouring of God among us, unprecedented. In our history of this church, perhaps in the history of our city, I don't know, in the history of the world, I don't care. Why not us? We have more God stuff going on in this church than you can shake a stick at. It's amazing. You just get around and listen to people talk. What's the Lord done here? The Lord done this. He healed this one. He did this. He gave me wisdom. He gave me a vision. Warned me about this. He gave me something else. It's just amazing the stuff that God is doing among us. I think if we'll celebrate that, quit discounting that and saying we're not getting enough, but start to celebrate what God's doing among us, we will see an increase in the activity of the Holy Spirit. Number two, in pursuit of revival, we have to acknowledge that we have all of God, we have the fullness of God in us, and that we just need to reach in, get a hold of it, and decide to live it. And I think, now I'm not saying God doesn't come visit His people and do things like that. I think He does. I love it when He does. But I think you position yourself for that. I think you position yourself. We had Dr. Robert Johnson here for our LSSM graduation last year, or this past May. And he said something that's been bugging me, stuck in my brain ever since. Have you ever noticed that when God's wanting to talk to you about something, He'll have it stick in your brain? You know, the things you really want to hold on to, sometimes they just leak out. But sometimes when God's trying to get your attention about something, it don't leak. It's like you might want it to leak. I didn't want it to leak, but it just grabbed my attention. And that's this. He said, you know, now, let me tell you about Dr. Johnson. He's 75. He's been in ministry for probably 60 of those 75 years. He said, I found an interesting correlation going on. That when I am seriously seeking God about something, it seemed to coincide, as I look back over my lifetime of ministry, with the activity of God in my life rising to a new level. So when I saw miracles and signs and wonders, it's when I was pursuing God. When I made the choice to pursue God. Now, I may have made the choice to pursue God because I was desperate, because I had a problem I didn't know the answer to. It didn't matter what the reasoning was, but when I was pressing into God, it seemed that miracles attended my ministry more than at regular times. You know, I mean, and you know, in his case, it was missionary stuff and signs and wonders and things. And I found that to be true as well. When I am pressing into God, I find God's stuff showing up more frequently. How many of you have a busy life? Do we live in America or what? And we have to figure out what pressing into God looks like for us. In some ways it's the same, in other ways it's different for each one of us. See, I think, number three, in pursuit of revival, we confess we want to experience more of His transcendent glory that is already in us. Lord, I know that the fullness of God dwells in Christ and that I'm complete in Christ. Now I want to experience this, what You've got for, in me. That's why, men, you need to come to the retreat. You need to make a sacrifice. You need to make a priority. You need to make it your business to be there, because we're setting aside time to press into God. We're setting aside time to press into God. And when you set aside time to press into God, God shows up. We, many of us, we continue to think that God should pursue us. He did in Christ. He did in Christ pursue us. Ladies, you too. But He did in Christ pursue us. And the Bible tells us you can't even come to God unless the Holy Spirit's calling you. So He pursued you. He called you. He pursued you. He loved you. He drew you to Himself. Then it becomes our responsibility to pursue Him. Not that He's running away from us. He's not. When you take a step toward Him, He takes 10 steps toward you. It's more like you take a step and He takes a mile. But God, in His creation, designed it so that we're not automatons. He's our Father. We have a relationship. You know, I can be as close to David or as far away from David as I want to be. But more importantly, even though I'm the Father, David can be as close to me or as far from me as he wants to be. James is living in Tulsa. He can be as close to me or as far from me as he wants to be. I'm his Father. We're son and father. David and I are son and father. But it's not always my job to be pursuing those sons. If they want to have a relationship with me, they need to pursue me. Because when they make an effort to come toward me, I'm going to run to meet them. And I'm just a natural father. I think I'm a pretty good one, but I'm still broken and goofed up and all kinds of stuff. But I'm telling you, just in the natural, if a son wants to have a relationship with his father, he has to pursue him. In the spiritual, it's the same. If you want to have a relationship with your heavenly Father, you have to make effort toward that and pursue Him. What does that effort look like? It looks like Bible reading. It looks like prayer. It looks like quiet time. Saying, God, would you just speak to me? Would you help me to know what are my thoughts and your thoughts and the devil's thoughts and you know, the pizza I ate last night's thoughts? And would you help me know what feelings seem to stem from the kingdom of God within me and what feelings seem to come because I'm frustrated, disappointed, and broken? Or where do these feelings come? Lord, would you help me to know that and just shut up and be quiet for a few minutes and see what he says? Make time for God. I don't know what I'm on. Four, in pursuit of revival, I must surrender control. I don't get to have revival the way I want to have it. Well, you'd never see me up there doing that. My personal experience has been, don't make vows about what you won't do when it comes to God. It's not wise. Because we all have a strong will. Some of y'all have stronger wills than others. But we all, when it comes to ourselves, we want to be proper and accepted. What would people think? All those thoughts go through our mind, which is being renewed, which is not already renewed, which is broken to start with. You know, understand, we only fire on about 10%. The smartest among us only function on about 10% of our brain capacity. I think that's a result of the fall. I think in when Jesus comes and we get glorified and all that happens, we get 100% thinking power, we're going to be scary. But I think in pursuit of revival, I have to say, Lord, I want to do it your way, and I'm willing to surrender and let you do it however you want to. And however you want to use me is okay. What if he said to you, get up and see, Chad can't get up and run around the church anymore right yet. He's still hobbling along in that cast. But what if God said to you, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't come on Chad today. He led us in that Jericho marsh, throw him in the floor, grab him by the throat, and take over his body, and he had no bodily control whatsoever, and he was running around in the Spirit. He was not running around in the Spirit. He's running around in the flesh according to the Spirit. Chad, were you unconscious when you were doing that? Did you know you were doing it? You did. Well, I thought when you're in the Spirit, you lost control. No, you just yielded to God. And in this church, well, we don't do stuff like that very often. Somehow or another, you felt permission to go ahead and do it, and it was God, and it was wonderful, but God didn't take you over and throw you on the floor, and you came to yourself when you sat back down. Listen, guys, it doesn't work like that. You are not baptized in the Holy Spirit like that. You are not used by God like that. You do what you do in the flesh by the Spirit, as opposed to in the flesh by the other spirits. Excuse me. What you're going to do because you got a human body and we are grounded in this earth with our human body, and we do it by the Holy Spirit. When you're led by the Holy Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But when you're subject to other spirits, you can fulfill all kind of flesh. We have to surrender control. I'll do it my way. No, you won't. You'll do it God's way. We're living in an exciting time in Life Changer Church. For those of you who are relatively new to our congregation, you know, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, if you can sense it, but we're living in a remarkable time. We are living on a time, I used to say, we're on the brink of something. We're not. We're living in the beginnings of something that is wonderful. It's God is finding his way. God is going to bring it to pass. You watch. You listen to me. You watch. Well, this whole year, we've been relaying foundations. God has been changing the wineskin around here. And if you don't believe he's been changing the wineskin, you need to ask somebody from around here. I'm telling you, there are all kinds of changes been happening around here. And there's more changes in works. And so God is changing the wineskin. So it's not that our wineskin is necessarily bad. It's just that new wine requires new structure. God knows my heart as pastor. I want new wine. But I'm also a pastor. And I'm a shepherd of the flock of God. And I don't want my people damaged. Whom God has given me responsibility for, whom God has given me shepherdship over, I don't want to see your soul damaged because I'll go off and do some wild-haired, cockamamie thing and call it God. God's changing the skin. I'm happy he is. It's a little scary to me, but I decided I could trust him. Number six, in pursuit of revival, I have responsibility to actually make time for God. Well, how am I going to do that? Get up earlier. What? Get up earlier. Stay up later. Hey, we all get 24. We all get 7 days. We all get 24. You'd be surprised how busy you can be even when you don't punch a clock doing it at 8 to 5. You'd be surprised how fast your life will fill up with stuff unless you make it a priority to decide to be with God. So I want to remind you, we are in Christ. Christ is in us. All of the Godhead is in Christ. We are complete in Him. We are full of it. Somebody said, are you just full of it? I am full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of God. I'm getting fuller of the Word. You give me two more days, I'll have more in me then than I do now. Church, let's pursue revival. Let's pursue revival. What is revival anyway? Well, it means to be revived. Presumes you're dead. We're not dead. This is not a dead church. This is not a dead church. Well, you're not like so-and-so. This is not a dead church. Our goal is not to be like somebody else. I want to be authentic. People ask me, what's your church like? I said, we're real. You probably wouldn't like us. Said, we don't make any pretense about being perfect. We just love Jesus. He's trying to help us grow past ourselves. I don't do that to real sinners. I just do that to religious folk. Do people ever get mad at each other in your church? Yeah. You know what we do? We get over it. Well, you get over it or you leave. Does anybody ever get frustrated with you, Pastor? Yeah. We get over it or they leave. It's always disappointing to me when folks leave and don't even bother to talk to me about it, and then somehow everybody else knows about it, but I don't. Now, I get over that. I'm not going to let their attitude and behavior control me. See, now I didn't learn that being a pastor. I learned that just being in the world. First of all, I learned I'm not responsible for all your emotions. I have a hard enough time with my own. Dying to self is hard enough, much less controlling yourself. Okay? But then I also learned, not only do I'm not responsible for your emotions, now that didn't give me right to be rude, crude, and unclean, you know, and mean. I mean, you don't do that in the kingdom of God. But I do need to speak the truth in love. Make sure I'm in love. Right? You know? But I also learned that, you know, not only am I not responsible for other people's emotions, you know, I've got to take care of my own, but I can't allow what other people say about me or say to others about me, allow it to have a whole lot of power in my life. Now, I may grieve and cry and bawl and squall for a day or two, but I'm going to get over it. And God's going to take care of me. Well, amen. I don't know, Patty, that was you that hollered that great amen back there. I appreciate it. Thank you. Patty Boland, I thought it was her voice. Amen. You know, guys, let's pursue God. But we're not pursuing God out yonder. We're pursuing God in here. Well, if He's in there, why I got to pursue Him? Because you're not experiencing all of Him that there is. I want more of God. It doesn't mean that I have less of God. It means that I don't experience all that He is. Does that make sense? It's not like I'm missing parts. I don't have all the puzzle. No, I got all the puzzle. In Him, I am complete. Say it with me. In Christ, I am complete. Now, that doesn't mean I experience all of that. I want to experience everything there is to experience in Christ. But we're not a dead church. God is moving among us. There's wonderful things happening. You need to be at the outreach next week. Craig talked about these people that are looking for folks to help serve. Peter and Evie are out of town. They won't be there, but there's others that are leading, and so we need to be there. Well, you know, so I got to watch football. Do you know who OU's playing next week? It doesn't matter who OU's playing. It doesn't matter who OSU's playing. It doesn't matter who TU's playing. It doesn't matter what time of the day is. You should designate from about 11:15 until about 2:45 sacred time. I'm going to go serve God. What I do? I don't know. Just stand around and smile at people and shake hands if you don't have anything else to do. Eat a hot dog and grin. Be a part. Be a part of the body of Christ mobilized for the kingdom of God. Be a part of the body of Christ mobilized for the kingdom of God. Let's see who God will save. Let's see who God will heal. Let's see who God will deliver. Let's see what God will do when we get out of our sofa and get in the middle of the park. Men, get to the retreat. Make it a priority. Well, I don't have the money. Talk to Mike. He'll believe God with you. We've never let money stop anything around here, and we're not going to start doing it now. Oh, there you go.